Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 136, another rambly one. If you're one of these people, and I can't imagine there are many of you who are irritated by my rambling, just because I think people who are irritated by my rambling probably stopped listening a long time ago, and those of you who are listening have developed a tolerance for it, but just in case you haven't, I would suggest go listen to another podcast, like not one of mine, somebody else's who's a little less rambly. There is a lot of rambling on this episode. Yesterday or the day before, I sat down to do a quilt diary, and I just kind of went on and on, about everything but really quilting. So really, you may need to fast forward or just abandon ship right now. That's kind of what I would recommend if you don't like rambling. Some people like the rambling, believe it or not. Anyway, it is a Thursday, February 27th. We are almost out of February. Hallelujah. I've got blue skies and happy to report I'm hearing reports of rain in California, but also sadly mudslides. So good grief. Yes, but I'm glad it's raining. It's good for folks in California. And really what's good for folks in California and for agriculture in California is good for all of us. I want to say a thank you to everyone who commented on episode 135. I got a lot of great comments. I heard from Terry and AJ Dub. I heard from Tori and Julie and McQuilts. And McQuilts wrote something funny. I talked about my art quilt, the Sister Rosetta Tharpe, and that I didn't realize until after I put the thing together that the batik fabric that I used for her dress, there was a patch of pink right on the shoulder that matched the pink of the background. And McQuilt says, yes, it looks like a chunk is out of the dress, but you learned, and I bet you won't do that again, will you? And that is, I laughed when I read that. I'm like, no, I won't. That was a lesson learned on a practice, first time practice quilt, which is not really a quilt since I didn't quilt it, but you know what I mean. And what a good time to learn it right at the beginning. So I know I will remember that. Heard from the wonderful Margaret Kay, from Tanisha, and by the way, thank you, Tanisha. I should have emailed you to say thanks. She gave me all these great art quilt references and web and blogs, and you know, she's a big art quilter and publishes patterns and does fabulous work. So if you are looking, if you're interested in art quilts and you're looking for references and links, come over to my comments for episode 135 and read Tanisha's comment. Very helpful. Heard from Kelly the Fifth and Very Lazy Daisy. Heard from Ozzy Pip, we got more snow. After I posted the last episode, right before Valentine's Day, we got like 8 inches, which is so much for us. And the great thing is it was beautiful. It was fun. The power did not go out. And then it melted a few days later. Yay! My favorite kind of snow. Heard from the Kitchen Quilter, from Gayla C., a new listener. Yay! And Anne, another new listener. Heard from Jay with lots of good recommendations, about art quilts, and Jay thinks I should invest in a Kona color card. And she is probably right, because quite frankly, that was quite a fool's errand I went on trying to find the right red. So anyway, and Jay is reading Lost Lake, the new Sarah Addison Allen. So I'll be interested to hear what you think. I'm like number 40 in line for that at the library. Although sometimes stuff moves really quickly. It's like I finally got, I shouldn't even say finally. I can't remember when I put the Invention of Wings by Sue Monk Kidd, when I put that on hold, and you know, I was like 60th, and then suddenly, and then I was like down to like 30th, and then suddenly I got the notification that the book was waiting for me at the library, which means obviously that they bought tons and tons of copies because they knew it was going to be a big, big hit. And that is what I'm reading now, and I really like it. You know, I had issues with The Secret Life of Bees. I felt it was unrealistic in ways that made me uncomfortable. I felt it was kind of like a white woman's or white girl's fantasy, you know, and the way, it's been a long time since I've read it, but as I recall, there's a girl, I think she's probably in her early teens, who is in a bad situation and is kind of saved by people in the black community of her town who really put themselves on the line for her. In a way that to me is like, it just seemed a little bit of a fantasy, you know, and it's sort of that, you know, I don't know. I mean, I could spend a lot of time talking about it, but it just felt kind of a little off and a little, again, sort of, I don't know. Anyway, but I thought it was a well-written book, so it certainly wasn't that. But this book, I'm really enjoying. I'm probably about a little more than halfway through, and it's and I know it's Barbara is reading it, and Chris, I don't know who else, but I like it, and if you're reading it, I would be really interested to hear what you have to say about it. I did finish, I talk about this in the Quilt Diaries, I don't want to go too much in, but I did finish the great Unwinding, or The Unwinding, the nonfiction, won the National Book Award for Nonfiction this past December, about sort of American history, the last 30 years, what's been going on economically, and just sort of all the things that have converged to create the times that we live in. And I found it quite interesting. So yes, I would recommend that if that's, you know, sort of the thing, kind of stuff that interests you. It's like, it's made out, this guy, George Packer, is a New Yorker writer, and a lot of the stuff that appears in the book initially appeared in the New Yorker. So if you like the New Yorker, you will like this book. Anyway, I do want to thank everybody who took time to comment or email or, you know, just think nice thoughts about me. One thing, as I said, the Quilt Diaries are quite rambly, and they may be a bit confusing in that. And the first or second one, I am not sure which one. It may be the first one I come on and tell you that my mom, a few weeks ago, right after I posted the last episode, because that was like February 6th or 7th, my mom had a small stroke, which she recovered from quite quickly. But I think when I was doing the first Quilt Diary, it was the day after, and she was better. But it was not clear what was going to happen. Now, the next day, Sunday morning, my dad called me and said, "Oh, you know, mom's fine, and she's back to her normal self, and, you know, scored a perfect on her cognition test, etc." And in fact, she was out of the hospital a couple days and is home quilting, getting over cold, doing fine. So that's all good news. But because there was a big gap between, there's like a week between the first Quilt Diary and the second one, or the second and the third, I don't know. Whatever it was, and everything kind of resolved so quickly. I realized later in the second Quilt Diary, I don't even think I mention it. And you might be going, "Wow, what happened?" Well, what happened was all good news. So anyway, but I appreciate that. There were people who knew about that and were incredibly supportive. And I'm, as always, very, very thankful for this community that we find ourselves in, which I think is lovely. And those of you who are new to it, be part of it. Get on Twitter. There are a lot of twilters, or what does Jay call them? I want to say twerps, but that's not right. It's something, though. But there are a lot of folks who are a lot of podcasters, and a lot of people who are just part of this community do a lot of tweeting. I go in and out of it, but it's always fun to check in and see who's doing what. And also now the Fitbit thing. And I talk about how I lost my Fitbit and ended up getting a new one. And I was sure as soon as I ordered the new one, or as soon as I ripped open the packaging, that the old one would resurface. It hasn't. The day I lost it, I didn't leave the house. And I actually did go through the trash very thoroughly and didn't find it. So I'm kind of assuming it's around here somewhere. And when it pops up, the man's going to use it. So there you go. But anyway, so there are a bunch of folks who are on Fitbit. And I think the community group is the Quiltcast community group. So if you're on Fitbit, come over there, because that's a lot of fun. We're all trying to catch Terry, and we never, ever will. And I'm trying to get caught up, because I lost that a week of steps. I was doing so well. I mean, I kept walking and stuff even when I didn't have my Fitbit. I got an app. I uploaded a free pedometer app, but it's not the same. And I don't actually like carrying my phone with me all the time. It's not the same as my sweet little Fitbit, which I missed desperately. It was gone. I felt like an addict. Like, I don't have my Fitbit. But now I have my new Fitbit. And since it looks exactly the same as my old Fitbit, I feel, all put to rights. So, yes, I said thanks for commenting. And if you want to leave a comment on this episode, come to the Off Kilter Quilt www.wordpress.com. You will see a picture of the Irish chain that is a finished. Yay! I might post a picture of Will's wild new shoes. Just crazy. They're Fruity Pebbles. LeBron James design. Yes, he spent extra money. It's like we said, here's your shoe allowance. If you want to get shoes more expensive than what this will buy you, you have to use your own money. And he's a money hoarder. So he did. He had the money. He paid it. He's got crazy shoes. I may post a picture. Yeah. So anyway, you can also email me. F, as in Francis, Dowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at N-C, as in North Carolina, nc.rr.com. I'd love to hear from you. I try always to write back. Sometimes it takes a little bit because I'm lazy and unorganized and all that. But anyway, let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Saturday, February 8th, 2014. I don't actually have a lot of quilty news, but I remembered something that I forgot to say last week, which is thank you to Margaret, who emailed me after I posted last week's episode to say that the episode that I posted sounded a lot like the week before's episode. I had been having real problems with Podbean that day and the night before. And so I don't know what happened, but I was so appreciative of Margaret emailing and saying, this is what's going on. And I quickly posted the correct episode and deleted the egregious episode. But I realized I didn't say thank you, Margaret. That was so, so helpful. I really appreciate that. So I wanted to get that out there in public. I am really tired. I actually have bad news that's getting better, but yesterday my mom had a stroke. And you can imagine, since most of you or many of you listening have been with me for a while, and you know that my mom has had cancer, that last summer she was diagnosed with an aggressive form of large B-cell lymphoma, stage 4, went through serious chemotherapy, 6 sessions of very aggressive chemotherapy, and has recently been told she's in remission. So we've been all, dancing around the maypole, so happy, and then this. The good news is it seems like there's not a lot of damage. She has quickly regained cognitive abilities and is making a lot of encouraging progress. And I posted something on Twitter, because most of my Twitter friends are quilters, as we say, quilters, and got lots of great, almost instantaneous feedback with people saying that they would keep my mom in their prayers and their thoughts. And that made me feel very happy to be a part of this community where people are so kind. And really friends, and I feel that, so I appreciate that. I did not sleep really well last night. I was very, I know my mom's going to listen to this, but we'll talk about it. Obviously it was just very upsetting news, which it would be in any event, but also especially after everything that my mom has been through, and to be on the upswing health-wise and for this to happen, this was overwhelming. And, so I just really had a hard time sleeping, which was too bad because I had a library presentation today in Goldsboro, which is an hour and a half east of here, southeast, and I had to go. And there was no reason for me not to go. There wasn't anything I could do for my mom, and so I went. I actually thought about making the man drive me, and he had offered. He said that I needed to leave at 8:15, so it wasn't horribly early. And he said that he and Will could drive with me. And I said, he had offered the night before. I said, no, I'll be fine. And about 4 a.m., I was like, he may have to drive. But, I slept for about 3 hours. I fell asleep a little after 4. And I was fine. You get up and, I felt like a schoolgirl. I'm like, oh, I'm up and I'm driving and I'm fine. And then the presentation went really well. I talked about this. I did not end up having lunch with the man's cousin, John, and his wife, who are so lovely. And they were there and they were
so, so nice. And I knew, of course, that I would have had a great lunch with them, and we would have had fun and had a good time talking. But I just needed to get back to Durham. And I had told the man, don't, you know, if you get any news, don't tweet it. I mean, don't message me, good or bad. Just, you know, I just, because I'll be on the road and there's nothing I can do. In any event, but the presentation was great. I thought I was going to be talking to kids, and it was an audience of adults. And so, and it was fine. I could talk to them. I was talking about Shooting the Moon, and in some ways it made it better because there, you didn't, I didn't have to dance around some things. And several of the members of the audience were Vietnam vets who had read the book and were very complimentary about how well I had described GIs and how GIs talk and all that. You know, and you know, I talked in the presentation about I got so much from my dad writing that book that was so helpful, because they were talking about how, and I'd done a good job like describing Army life and Army hierarchy, and I said, well, you know, my dad really helped out a lot with that. So that was good, and it was good to have something to do, and it was good to have an appreciative and interested audience. So that all went really well, and I made it home without any problems. And then got, you know, good news about my mom, so yay. But I am very tired and I can't sleep. I'm not a good napper, so I'm just chilling out. I am reading the new Anna Quinlan, Still Life with Breadcrumbs, and it's good. It's not great. You know, it's not like, oh, this is the book you have. There's only one book you read this year. You have to read it. It's not that kind of book, but, you know, I like her writing. I mean, it's very straightforward. There's no particular stylistic, you know, jumping jacks going on, but she's a good writer. And she's a good storyteller, and it's a story about of a 60-year-old woman. She's a photographer who is a bit, you know, is not, you know, who was once sort of the talk of the town and isn't any longer. She still has a career, but she's not making money like she used to. And she actually rents a cabin for a year. In fact, she's got this great apartment in the Upper West Side of New York, and she doesn't have much money, so she owns the apartment, so she rents out the apartment for the year. She sublets it for a year to make money off of it and rents a cabin in the woods of upstate New York, or actually mid-state New York, I think. It's just a couple hours from the city. But anyway, it's just, you know, I find this character interesting. I like domestic novels. I like novels about women. And I'm enjoying this, so I would recommend it. I also just got my photo-inspired quilts in the mail today. Excited about that. And it looks fantastic. So I have so much to learn. So much to learn. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm excited. And that's good. That's a good way to be. And I got a great email from Sue in upstate New York, and she sent a picture of a quilt, and one of her art quilts, which is fabulous, and talked some about Photoshop and how she used Photoshop, which has inspired me to actually learn how to use Photoshop, because yesterday I took one of the a painting from a magazine that I'd had hanging on my wall, just a cityscape. And I traced it. I traced like a layer of it. And then I was going to the library, so I took it with me and blew it up to 150%. Had to do it in halves. You know, and it's good. It's a nice size now. But then I came home and did the next layer. And now the next time I go to the library, I'll blow that up. And I'm sort of thinking there's got to be a better way. And I think maybe Photoshop. Maybe I can, because, you know, again, I talked about last time about how Illustrator seemed a little daunting to me, but maybe Photoshop is more user-friendly. We shall see. But I appreciated Sue's email. And she also is going to send me a book she has that she doesn't use anymore on portraits, on photo quilt photo portraits, and it's one that I was looking at Amazon and thought about buying. So I am very, very excited about this. And again, this takes me back to the wonderful community we have here, and it's so generous. And as I look at my mosaic blocks, and so much of that fabric was sent in by people who listen to this podcast, and I feel, you know, times like this when I feel life feels a little hard, It feels less hard than it did about 24 hours ago when my dad called and said my mom had a stroke. But it clears a lot of nonsense away. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I have such good friends. So many people just immediately, my quilting friends and my friends Amy and Daniil and other people just immediately were like, what can we do? And we're praying for your mom. And how are you doing? And I just felt like, oh, I have really good friends. So that includes you. Anyway. I wanted to tell you that, and I hope, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I should go to church, I think. We've been a little slack about our church attendance during flu season, but tomorrow may be the time to go. And whether or not, maybe start looking at that mosaic quilt. It's time to get going, and I'll think about you, all of you who sent me fabric while I put it together. But anyway, more soon. Quilt Diary, Day 2. It's Friday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. We have a really sweet, sweet Valentine's tradition around the Dow abode. It goes like this. I remember sometime around midday that it is, in fact, Valentine's Day, and I go up to the man or call the man and say, you know, I completely forgot it was Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. And he says, oh, I forgot too, and I didn't get you anything. Happy Valentine's Day. And then we give each other a little peck on the cheek, and it's lovely, and we go on with life. I usually get the boys like a little Valentine's chocolate, and they get me nothing. We're really not good with this kind of stuff, but yeah. So anyway, happy Valentine's Day. I am sitting here looking out at a window looking out through the window at a yard full of melting snow. We did have quite a storm here starting Tuesday, and I'm just so happy because we did not lose power. Although we got lots of snow, I think we got about 8 inches of snow altogether, and maybe more. It was weird. We got snow, and then the ice and sleet came, and then it just switched back yesterday to snow. And it was beautiful. It was really nice snow. And Will went out sledding. Will and the man went out sledding. And Jack looked out the window and thought, not going to do that. And I went out and took a long walk. I don't sled because I'm, sensitive about broken limbs, mine. But I did take a long walk, and it was really nice. And, it was all, my motto is, it's beautiful until the power goes out. But the power did not go out. And now everything's melting, and next week it's going to be 70 degrees. Go figure. Anyway, I am sitting here at my table. The thing about this, so of course, we didn't have school yesterday or today. And by the way, you may have been privy to the viral YouTube video that the headmaster of our fine school, Durham Academy, and the director of the upper school. They did a video. It was very funny. It was a rap based on, Ice Baby, Ice Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice retweeted the video, by the way. As of now, as of the latest, last time we checked, it had like 2.5 million hits. It just went viral. It's very, very funny. If I think of it, I'll link to it. Although, I was hearing people like from Jay, Art Quilt Maker, going, emailing me and going, Facebook, you mean, is this your kid's school? Yes, it is. Very popular. It was cool. They're very cool guys, these guys. Miss Michael, it's taken me a while. The headmaster is new. He's about 12. If you've seen the video, you realize, you look at him, he looks like he's 12. I assume he's in his 30s. He's a young guy. His name is Michael Uchelsteiner. It took me 6 months to get that down. Just going around going, Michael Uchelsteiner. I cannot say his name separately. I can say Michael. The last name I have to say, the first name to get it, Michael Uchelsteiner. And then the head of the lower school, the head of the upper school is Lee Hark. And he is hilarious. Parents' night this year, oh my goodness. I mean, he had us rolling. Me, the man, and John Edwards, whose kids go to Durham Academy. John was a couple seats down from me, looking tired, looking like a man who's done what he's done. Looking like you ought to look. He was a beautiful man in his day. Looking a little tired now. Anyway, so having the snow days, it's weird. I actually have written both mornings. I got up and
went to work. It's just, I'm a creature of routine. I need my routine, and I feel a little out of it now because it's Friday afternoon. I have no idea what time. Maybe 3-ish, which usually would be the time that I was going to pick up Will and Jack, and usually at some point today I would have gone to get the groceries. You know, probably right now I'd be driving from the grocery store to pick up Will. And I'm not going anywhere till the snow's gone. People can thank me later. I have driven in snow because I did go to grad school in Massachusetts, but I prefer not to. So I'll just, anyway, so I'm totally off the routine. I have, by the way, this is exciting, figured out my plan for the mosaic blocks. I sat down and I spread them all, and there's not a good ratio. It's not an even ratio between dark and light blues. But what I decided to do is put the lighter blues out, the darker blues in, and I did that, and I emailed a picture to Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us, and she said, that's okay. And I mean, she said, oh, that's good, I like that. What else are you going to try? I'm like, nothing. I think I implied that I might try a few other things, but, you know, yeah, I feel kind of slack, but I'm looking at it. The problem is it's so big, and there's so many blocks. I'm just like, I'm not made out of time. I don't know what else would work, really. This works for me. I like it. It looks good. I guess I could spend the next couple weeks rearranging blocks. Maybe I should pretend that I have so that Sandy will still respect me in the morning. But, you know, I just thought, this looks fine to me. It looks good. And so I'm starting to piece the top. And it'll be very interesting to see, ultimately, how many borders I'm going to need for it. But, you know, anyway. Oh, and I have a finish. This is, you know, in some ways, okay, I'm never going to get it back around to where I started. Someone complimented me. I don't know if it was Barbara. Maybe Barbara in an email complimented me for it last time, actually going off on tangents and actually being able to circle back to where I started from. But now I don't know. Creature of routine. See, now I'm starting to circle back too soon because I had... Finishing. Let's talk about that. So creature of routine, everything's feeling kind of weird, even though I'm trying to stick to my routines, but I can't really stick to my routines. If the routines have been pulled out from under me, the external routines, like picking up children from school and going grocery shopping. So one of the things I decided is like, well, you know, because what happens then is I kind of wander around and go, what am I supposed to be doing? And there's always stuff to do. Most of it I don't want to do. You know what I could be doing? I could be cleaning the bathroom. The bathrooms, all of them, are in dire need of cleaning. No one else cares besides me, so no one else does it. I really need to make the boys clean the bathroom. Every summer, I say, this is the summer the boys will be in charge of cleaning their own bathroom. Hasn't happened yet. It's more like, you know, I mean, I make them, they do chores. They're starting to do more yard work, and they're in charge of their rooms to a certain extent. I do some stuff, but so it's not like they're not just sitting around eating bonbons, but there's certain things I know because that I could say do it, and they would, but they wouldn't do it to my level of happiness. And my thing with parenting is I feel like so much of parenting nowadays is about policing because you've got the whole computer element. And so all my policing energy goes into computers and screen time and saying how long, and you know, and Will is getting slack about this, so I'm having to get really on him about it. And you know, and it's about time I need to sit down with Jack and really have a long, you know, we've had some good talks about computer time. It used to be Sunday was like computer free day until it was time to do homework. And that's kind of stopped, and we need to sit down and have a talk about that because I think he needs to take a break from the computer. Anyway, all right, I'm never getting back from that one. Parenting, policing, cleaning. Oh, I am. I'm coming right back. I'm picking up the tangent. I'm threading my way back to where I started from. So, yes, there are things I could do, but I'm out of my routine. I don't have my framework within which to work, and so sometimes I feel lost. And so I thought, well, one thing you could just focus on is finishing things. So I finished the Irish chain. Yay! I will have a picture of it. It is hanging up on the wall in my bedroom. And, you know, I have yet to make a quilt that had four right angles. this one is close. It's got three. And then there's one. It's just like, what happened there? What happened? But it's okay, because, you know, I tell myself that it looks really kind of, you know, vintage, right? Because those vintage gals, those old-time gals, they didn't care about right angles or straight lines. You know, they didn't have time, because they had to go out and, you know, shoot a bear once they were done quilting. So that's what I tell myself. It's got a nice vintage look. It's not all straight lines. This is called the off-kilter quilt for a reason, my dears. So I finished that. I am knitting a pair of socks for my editor, which I actually hope to finish by Valentine's Day and have actually on her feet by Valentine's Day. That didn't happen, but I'm focusing on that. Finish it. I have a hat I need to make for Will's friend Gavin. Will's at Gavin's right now. Thank you to Gavin's mother, Sarah. Thank you. This child needed to get out and play. He played yesterday, but he needed to get out and play with someone besides me and the man. So anyway, so he's over there doing that. Anyway, I owe Gavin a hat, simply because he asked me to make him a new hat. And when a 10-year-old boy asks you to make a hat, you just, of course, you make him a hat. But anyway, so I've got that. I've got to finish my other sweater that I haven't worked on because I've been working on the socks. And then Gavin's hat will take like a day. It's a really quick knit, so I just, once I get to it. Oh, by the way, I have found the greatest thing. Okay, so, you know, I'm Fitbitting, I'm walking, trying to catch up with Terry, never catching up with Terry. If you want a Fitbit and you're not Fitbitting, there is, you know, the quilters, the Quiltcast Fitbit group on the Fitbit site, and there seems to be a little bit of activity going on. People, actually, I felt like, wow, yet again, got to the action too late, missed the party, but now some people are starting to talk, and it's fun, and people are definitely walking, so it's a good time. So get on there and see if you can catch up with Terry. Guess what? You can't. Anyway, but I've learned that I can knit and walk, right? So I've been reading and walking, and now I can knit and walk. I cannot knit, read, and walk. Like most knitters, I wish I could knit and read, but it can't be done. But I can knit and walk. I put the ball of yarn in a bag that I put over my shoulder, and I walk and I knit. So I am actually making really good progress on this sock. I finished one sock. One more to go, then Gavin's hat. But again, finish. So finish the red and white quilt. I am now piecing the mosaic quilt. And right now, as we speak, I'm sitting here at my table. I should take a picture of this so you can see what a mess it is. And I am going through fabric. I have been in a fabric organization kick, on a kick, not in a kick, on a kick. And partly because, as you know, I'm now an art quilter since last week. It's very exciting now that I am. And so when you're an art quilter like me, and maybe you, a few others, good old Sue. I think I mentioned Sue in my last diary entry, and that she's sending me a book, yay, and has given me some good ideas, ways to get started and things to do, particularly with making my own patterns. So you know, me and Sue and the other art quilters around. Yeah, well, we need our scraps. So I got all these scraps, and I had them organized to some extent, and now, of course, you know, if you let your scraps just, I've had them in baskets, and if you let them sit there for more than 3 months, they start breeding. And socializing, yeah, I was probably socializing before the breeding. That's usually what happens. And so you're just, you know, so it's just crazy. And also, us art quilters, we need little pieces of fabric. We don't have to cut them into 2.5 squares or 3.5 squares. They can just be what they are, because we'll fussy cut them to fit our needs as art quilters. But anyway, I'm like, well, I should see what I have. It needs to be accessible. And in fact, I now have a lot of fabric in baggies, you know, big bread size baggies. So, you know, just a lot, separating the batiks and the solids. And, you know, I have, as I've sort of talked about, like I have a thing. Yeah, I got a thing. I got it at Target. I think it's probably, you know, it's cubbies, right? So it's just sitting on the ground. It's cubbies. And I do have some fabric, the bigger pieces of fabric I fold and put in there. I have some beautiful fabric that's in a drawer in my foyer. And I was thinking, I need to get that out because, you know, I barely I am barely aware of its existence. But anyway, but then I've got this fabric, these scraps and baskets, and you know, you forget what you have. I mean, some of the stuff I'm looking at is like, it's beautiful. I have such good taste in fabric, and I've got all these great little batik pieces that will just work out for me so well. Some of this, I'm like, looking at this great piece of fabric, I'm like, I do not recognize this at all. So I'm trying to organize, and it's just like one of those things, it's kind of crazy making. But I need to do it, and it'll make me happy. The problem is right now I don't quite have a system, so I just have all these scraps in front of me, and I'm putting them in their color families. And after that, I don't know. But I want to have it organized in a way that I can see it, because if you can't see it, you're not aware of it. It pretty much doesn't exist, right? But I haven't figured out a way to do that that is aesthetically pleasing. The plastic bags are actually not that aesthetically pleasing, but I think, you know, if I could get, I don't know. I have baskets around the house. I need to utilize them. I think I could do some sort of kind of file system. I don't know what I'm talking about at this point. But anyway, I am sitting here with scraps. But it is fun to go through your scraps, and they're cool. And, of course, I'm finding bits of blue fabric that people sent to me for the mosaic quilt, and that gives me warm fuzzies because people have been so kind. So that's what I'm doing. But finish. It's really good. You know, because when you're like me and your imagination just goes off into all kinds of different places, and you can think of 100 wonderful projects to start, to tell yourself, finish what you've started. Finish the mosaic quilt, finish the Irish chain, which I did, whee! And I think I'm going to take a picture of this. I actually have a pattern that I made. I'm sure I talked about it last week, so it's the last diary entry. So it's just two layers of a pattern, and it is, and I think I should, you know, I should scan the picture and show it to you, because it's a very cool painting. And so, and it's just a building, it's a streetscape, and so I have on the first level is the shape of the buildings and the road, and then on the second level is a tree and windows and things like that that overlay the building. So that's kind of, that will be next, that will be my next little project is actually trying to cut out pieces for that. And that is the big reason why I decided I need to organize these fabric scraps so that I'm aware of what I have when I try. And I think I'm going to try to match the colors that are in the actual painting. That would be helpful instead of me having to make it all up. So that is my next thing to finish. But finish. Don't start new things. Finish the things you've started. And that's good for me. I need structure. I need lists. I need to not make things up as I go along. Make things up as I go along. I think I said that correctly. So, what can I tell you? I think that's, you know, I'm sure I have a million things I could tell you, but that's probably it. Beyond what I've just told you now would just be kind of, you know, la la la, I'm reading this, I'm reading that. And I'm just kind of just reading five things, and they're all good. I'm almost done with an early-ish Sarah Allen book, Sarah Addison Allen, whose new book I'm like number 53 on the list for. I'm looking forward to reading that. This is a good time to read her. The book I'm reading now is The Sugar Queen, and it's actually set around in late November, December. So at that, you might hold off on that until the holiday season. But then I've got another one of hers. She's very whimsical in a way that I find enjoyable and can seem spring-like, you know, because that's what we need right now. We need to feel, those of us in the at least on the East Coast, we need to feel spring-like because we've had a lot of snow. I mean, all the way down to Birmingham, they've had a lot of snow. And, you know, maybe wherever you are. I mean, I think people have had cruddy weather all throughout the country. So we all need, I think, to feel spring-like. And Sarah Addison Allen, I think, is one of those writers that kind of gives you that hopeful life can be quirky and magical a little bit, even though there are problems. You know, her books in some ways are really romance novels, but they're quirky and fun, and I don't know. So the next one, let me tell you what I've got up next, is garden spells, which I'm hoping does have a lot of gardening stuff in it because I'm ready to garden, looking out at the 8 inches of melting snow in my yard. We are doing a seed order. We still got to build the fence, and I'm hoping next week when it's 70 degrees, we will get the big garden fence so we can plant our peas and our sugar snaps. But anyway, so I'm enjoying Sarah Addison Allen, because she just gives me that spring-like feeling at a time of year where you really wonder if spring is actually ever coming again. And when that happens, you know, North Carolina, actually, I think one of the lovely things about living here is about this time of year, you start seeing the crocus, which actually we have coming up, and the narcissus, and you believe that spring is coming. You know, and you start actually getting little whiffs of spring right now. So this has been a very cold winter for us. And anyway, need some spring in our lives. So if you need a little spring in your life, I would recommend Sarah Addison Allen. I think she's lovely. I think her books are lovely. So that is it for now. It's Friday. Who knows when I'll get this posted? Maybe soon. So this won't be the end. I'll probably give you one more entry if you can stand it. And then get posted, but I will have some good pictures for you, so be sure to check out the website. All right, talk to you soon. I'm just adding a little PS. It's still Friday, it's still Valentine's Day, etc., etc., but I've been organizing fabric, and I've been ironing little scraps of batik fabric. First of all, it's interesting, all my batiks seem to be blue and green, and bluey greens and greeny blues. I've got some nice browns and some grays, but like only one reddish batik. It's actually burgundy. No pinks. There are other colors, I suppose. You know, of course, no yellow. And in fact, that's as I'm organizing fabrics, it's hilarious how just almost zero yellow exists in my stash, which, as we know, is not a huge stash anyway. But I'm like, I should just go take $20 and buy $20 worth of yellow, just out of self-respect, you know, just to honor the color wheel. But you know what I'm thinking? It's like, I love batik so much now, particularly blue and green and green, greenish blue and bluish green and all that. But if you said you may not quilt with any other kinds of fabric than batik, I'd be like, fine. I have no problem with that. And you know, and I love all fabric. Not all. If it's yellow, I don't particularly love it. But, you know, I mean, I'm very moved and drawn by many, many prints and colors. But the batiks, man, they are just gorgeous. And I just needed to share that batik love with somebody, because who else am I going to share it with? Not the man or the boys, because they don't even really know what batiks are. But you, I can share it with. So I'm watching the man. He's out in the front yard knocking out icicles. We had a tree fall, an old pine tree. It was big. Fortunately, it fell into the arms of our magnolia tree, kind of the lower front yard. It did. It was very kind of sad and sweet, but it's, yeah. So he went out to see what, if he could saw anything off, and it's like the answer's like, not much. It's a big tree, and we're gonna have to get someone fortunate. But we just feel very fortunate it fell where it did and didn't like fall onto our neighbor's driveway, that kind of thing. Anyway, yes, but the man, for all his grandness, couldn't tell you what a batik was to save his life, but you could, and that's why I'm sharing. All right, more soon. Quilt Diary Day 3-ish. I am not sure. It's been a little while. You know, I realized that my last quilt diary, I think I went on about something. I don't know. I'll have to listen to it about the time you listen to it. But I did not update you on my mom, who is fine. I will probably say this at the beginning too, as a way of explaining why I'm a little bit behind schedule. Not that I actually have a schedule, as we all know. I used to have a schedule. Pam over at Hip to Be Square has a schedule. Fortunately, Tanisha and Sandy, well, no offense, girls, but sometimes you have schedules, sometimes you don't. So that's good. You see, I'm in good company here. Here's a hilarious thing. So, Christmas notes. Got the boys to write their grandparents, my folks, and the man's mom, their Christmas note, Christmas thank yous.
The man, wrote my parents, his Christmas thank you. I am still a little bit behind, and it's what? It's February 25th, so it's 2 months past Christmas. I'm a little behind, but I will do it. I will do it. In fact, I might do it today because it's kind of been hanging over my head. I don't know. Do you ever have stuff like that that you need to do? It won't take you much time to do. You want to do it because it's the right thing to do, and you are, for instance, with thank you notes, truly thankful for all gifts received. But at the end of the day, you think, I forgot. You can write it on your list, and at the end of the day, you're like, oh, man, I meant to write those thank you notes, but I'm going to do it. And really, but the boys have not written to my brothers, to Uncle D and Uncle Doug and their families to say thank you. Now, my niece Elizabeth, daughter of my older brother D, she is less than stellar about the thank you notes. It's hit or miss. Some years she does, some years she doesn't. Fortunately, she's adorable and so sweet. You're just like, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But my other brother, Doug, his children will write them. It's an eventual thing. You know they're coming. And I'm always like, all right, as long as we haven't gotten the thank you notes from Gabby and Deborah, we're okay. But they came yesterday and they were so sweet and nice. Now I'm like, all right, now it's got to be done. Now we are truly slackers. So, yeah. Anyway, now I can't. Anyway, so that's where, yes, thank you notes, and don't know how I got there. Sorry, I'm just going to move on. It's been a little bit of a weird time. The week before last, I was doing good quilty work and getting excited and, you know, being an art quilter, but also working on my mosaic quilt. So, you know, piecing it, which is where I am, which is very exciting. And then last week I was kind of down. I really think, I was telling my mom this, I think it was almost like post-traumatic stress after my mom's stroke. And she fully recovered. Did I mention that? Or did I just go off on my own thing? I think I went off on my own ramble. Sorry. Oh, I know, I was talking. That's what, now I remember why thank you notes and Sandy and Tanisha, and you're, as long as everyone else is slacking off, you're okay. And then when other people get their deals together and write their thank you notes or post their podcast, you're like, man, okay. And Sandy actually has been posting a lot of episodes, which has been great fun. Keep at it, Sandy. Keep up the good work. But yeah, so last week I was a little, so my mom recovered very quickly. Some of you know this, from her stroke. It was a minor stroke. By Sunday morning, she was back to her own self. She's stayed in for testing for a couple of days and then came home and has been good. She's had a little bit of a cold, but it's quilting and it's good, you know. But I think after having all of us gone through, you know, a lot emotionally and then a lot of relief after my mom found out she was in remission, I think the stroke just was like, even though it wasn't really much, you know, it was very small and she's fine. And, you know, I don't know. I think there was something that was just sort of the camp, the straw, the teeny tiny straw where everyone just went, bah. And also, you know, it's February and we don't complain about the weather, but frankly, it's been a little dreary. Now this weekend was beautiful. I feel like if I don't complain about the weather, I shouldn't praise the weather either. It's not very zen of me. I think I'm not supposed to judge at all, but it was very nice. And on Sunday, it was 70, and the man and I were out in the garden and we're having today, actually, a big load of compost being delivered. I, of course, have a compost pile, but, I mean, we're getting a huge amount of two different kinds of compost. And, you know, so, and we're about to, as soon as we get the compost worked into the rows, we're going to be planting our peas and our sugar snaps. It's that time of year. But it was 70 and it was beautiful and you just felt like good. And oh, here's spring. And now it's just kind of back to 48 and dreary again, not that we complain about the weather. So it was a little dreary last week and I was feeling a little down and, just this and that. And then kind of Friday, I felt better. You know, it was like, something broke and in a good way, you know, some sort of tension broke or some sort of sadness broke. And then I was just fine. You know, even though it was rainy and dreary, I was fine. We had a teacher's conference with Will's advisor. Will, if you'll recall, is in fifth grade. And in our fine middle school, at fifth grade, you're in an advisory. It's kind of like your homeroom. It's usually 12 kids. And that's where you check in the morning and then you eat lunch with your advisor. You don't have classes with everybody in your advisory. They move around in a travel group. Your travel group is a different group. Anyway, Will's teacher,
is a science teacher. She's young. She just had a baby. And she's very serious, but good-humored. You know, so she definitely has a sense of humor. And she really likes me and the man. Very interesting. I mean, she just does. And I think partly because I'm writing, I have a series of books, Phineas L. McGuire, who's a fourth grade scientist. So she likes that. She likes Will a lot. And Will's very likable. You know, he's just, he's a likable, well-behaved kid. Oh my goodness. So this is gossip I can say here that I would not say like to even people that I might gossip a little bit with about school stuff, but there's this kid. I might have talked about him at one point at the beginning of the school year. His name is John, and he came and spent the night before the fifth grade sleepover. They go to a camp, and in fifth grade, you spend one night at your camp, and you come back. And he was horrible. He was horrible. He wasn't terrible person horrible, just horrible in a way that you just was exhausting. You know, so it wasn't like he was mean. He was hyper competitive. That was the thing that made him horrible. And Will can be very competitive too, you know. And Will is competitive, but he and his two best buddies are very good about, you know, they get competitive, especially Will and Gavin. If you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you've heard about Gavin, who's a great kid, and I love Gavin. But they do. They both get very competitive with each other. But then they chill out. You know, they get to this place where it's really kind of amazing. And they go to school together. And I actually think that a lot of the stuff they do at the school about community building is very effective, and you see these guys, Will and Gavin, using those tools to kind of back off from their big competitive struggles. Anyway, so this kid John was so competitive in a way that just, wow, was exhausting. Exhausted Will. Will was in tears by the end of the night just because he couldn't take it anymore. You know, and he's also an introvert, and he didn't get his alone time. But it was too much. It was too much. So apparently, John has not been turning in his history assignments, in his failing history. He showed Will and Gavin like his interim report at the school. If you have a C or below in a subject at midterm or mid-quarter, you get a progress report, and saying there's a problem here. So we got to our conference, the man and I, on Friday. And which was at 10, and John's parents were there, and the school director was there. So, yes. I shouldn't even call John John, should I? I should call him Bob. Let's pretend I've been calling this kid Bob. Anyway, so that does not bode well. So, obviously, next up, Bob. Will it... Yeah, Will's very cool. So, yes. Yeah, so, that was very... But so, it's fun to go see a teacher, and the teacher likes your kid, and the teacher likes you, and she has invited us. She's an archaeologist as well as a science teacher, and she works on these very important digs in the summer. North Carolina has a couple really like big time sites, like New York Times reporting on the sites kind of sites that she's involved in, and she invited us to come to one of the sites this summer with the idea that we might write about it. So, which we would. But anyway, isn't that cool? Okay, this is such, there's like, okay, and the quilting part of this quilting podcast? Yeah, I'm off my game. Oh, and you know what else? Is like, Jay and I had a class together. Yay, we Skyped. And I need to actually email her and say, sorry, I just was in a funk last week. We're doing hexagons. We're going to redo the New York Beauty, which I did before and came, you know, paper piece, loved it, but it came out funky. So I'm just going to redo it, which I need to do because I need to keep up my paper piecing practice. But then we're going to work on hexagons. And there's some rulers I'm supposed to get, but I could also do a template. I may do a template because I'm trying to be really frugal. You know. And so when Jay said, oh, you need these rulers, I'm like, oh, yay, I get to buy some new stuff. But then later I thought, well, I could also find alternate ways to do that and not spend money. I'm being so good. Barbara, first of all, I am going to email you. I might email you today, but... In case I haven't emailed you by the time I post this, Barbara emailed me. We email back and forth, and she wanted to know if I'm not going to Target, what am I doing for toilet paper? Barbara, Target is not the only place that you can get toilet paper. I mean, you can get it pretty cheaply there, but what I do, first of all, I just buy really cheap toilet paper. You should know that about me. I actually have company
toilet paper. True story. I have the Angel brand fluffy, cushiony kind of toilet paper for when my book club meets here or we have guests. And for us, it's the Scott's tissue, scratchy, not comfortable, but man, it lasts a long time. That's what I get, and I get it on sale. And, you know, my knee has been rubbing against the, can you hear that? I'm like, wow, it's been doing that for about 5 minutes. I bet y'all have enjoyed that. Sorry, Travis is sitting on my lap. He just got groomed. That was a big thing last week, too. It was Travis, who we've not had groomed since mid-December, which is a long time. He was a mop. I'm really kicking myself for not doing the before picture, because that was the longest we've ever let his hair get, but it's been so cold. But now he's back to being, when he first gets groomed, it's like a delicate flower. He's lovely and looks really vulnerable. I'm worried for him. Like, oh, that big bad squirrel's going to get you. But no, Travis is, oops, I shouldn't say squirrel. He is a squirrel hunter. And when we have, well, I can't even go into this. Well, I'll tell you some other time. Because he's starting to look at me like, ooh, you talking about squirrels? I got some things to say about squirrels. Okay. So, Jay, trying to be frugal. Going to make a template for the Hexies. But I still have not gone into Target. And I am on pace for February to, I will have spent about $600 less than last February. Now, last February, I was like, why did I spend so much? February's a short month. Partly, you know, I had a lunch and I got, you know, and as often these, it was a Valentine's Day ladies luncheon. And, you know, I do these things so rarely. It's often an occasion where I will be buying stuff that we needed for the house anyway. And so, you know, it might be pillows or plates or whatever. So anyway, but I am by not spending one, but I can do one thing a month on Amazon. So this time I got the thing about, you know, the art quilt. Oh, I don't even know what it is. You know, pictorial quilts, whatever. I probably talked about it before. I hope so. If not, email me. I'll tell you what it is. I'm so lazy. I can't even get up to go look at the book I got. So I one thing a month on Amazon. Actually, this takes us to something else. So we're going to segue from frugality into health and wellness because I lost my Fitbit. I actually think that's one of the reasons I felt so blue last week because the Fitbit just directs your life. It really does. I love getting the 12. I go for 12,000 steps a day, which is 5 miles. They say 10,000, but it's really, according to Fitbit, it's like 11,900 steps is about 5 miles. And partly the way I get that is dancing around the house at night. It's so fun. I do all, it's getting a little weird. No, but I've been reading, one thing I do when I get a little blue is I read all my little Zen Buddhist live mindfully books, which I actually love. I've actually thought about, you know, there's a Zen center in Chapel Hill and they do a monthly sort of beginner's workshop on meditation. Cause I really love, like I love trying to do meditation walking, which I can do for 20 yards before my monkey brain sets in and I start thinking about 10 million things. But those 10 yards are really peaceful. I feel very calm. So one of the things like I've been doing the last few days is to get in all my steps, I walk the house, but I try to be very mindful. And it's an interesting exercise because your mind just goes off. It's very hard to not think about anything. I mean, so I think the word breathe or step, 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 breathe. So, and there are walking meditations, apps. So I could get an app and have some very peaceful, lovely voice telling me to breathe and inhale and exhale. So, you know, so I'm doing that or I'm doing, you know, and I'm loving that Pandora because I have like 100 radio stations at this point because I was thinking, oh, you know, there's this jazz pianist who I've always wanted to get the, you know, something of his and haven't. So I just make a Pandora station and then I get all these songs and it's just wonderful. So last night I was very jazzy. Brazilian jazz kind of new agey thing and being very like, you know, and now of course with the Olympics and you watch the ice skating and most of my walking path through the house is hardwood floor. So I'm like ice skating. It's great. And my children just like, you are so insane. I can't imagine when they go to other people's houses, people who have like normal mothers who aren't
just really nuts. But I am sane. See, that's a they're going to houses with women who seem very sane and or and regular, who are, well, I don't know this. I'm just making that up because actually I'm thinking of their friends, like Gavin's mom and Wynn's mom are actually really nice, grounded people. But yeah, anyway, I don't know. They'll live with it. It's good for them to grow up with a strange person who's not crazy. I think that's a good thing. I'm just rambling, and I'm going to stop because this needs to get posted. But there's, a lot to talk about. Speaking of the Olympics, one of the most interesting things, watching men's figure skating with Will. Again, Will is 11. He's very jockey. He's very, we have, it's funny. It's like one of his favorite teachers from the lower school is gay, but we've never really talked about it because I feel like that was his teacher's business. And of course, his teacher, it was sort of out to the parents and the community, but not the kids. He was professional, and why teachers don't, talk about their love lives, they shouldn't with their students. But anyway, but also very, present did not signify through clothing or say interesting flowing shirts that he wore while skating around an ice rink the way some of these Olympic skaters did. And Will was a little nonplussed, I think, by particularly the Japanese skater who won gold. He was a beautiful skater, but the costume he wore, his skating outfit for his last gold medal winning performance was, if Will's just like, wow, man, that is weird. And I was like, people are various. People express themselves in different ways. And what seems weird to some of us, not me, because well, I'm open-minded, but you just got to think bigger than that and whatever. And of course, the man's over there, no, man, that is weird. So I feel like Will, on the one hand, is having his observations or his feelings affirmed. He's not the only one who thinks that's weird. And he also has someone gently prodding him to open his mind a little and understand different strokes for different folks, baby. But yes, watching the men's figure skating with an 11-year-old boy who's just shaking his head like, man, I do not get this. I think Will is pretty firmly gendered. I don't, I just feel like he's genders on a spectrum, which I think it kind of is. I think he's firmly over, with the masculine traits. So interesting experience. Yeah, but we did our best to handle it. All right. See, I have nothing to say about quilting. I like to quilt. I really do. I hope you do too. Oh, and someone gave me a good sign off, and now I can't remember what it was. I think it was like, life is short. Keep quilting. Go ahead and quilt. Oh, see, when I go over the comments, thank you, whoever told me that. And I'm sorry that my brain is so feeble and that I have a dog on my lap, and so I can't, who I cannot bear to disturb. But anyway, so I'm going to study that. I will write it down. It was a good sign off. I liked it. It was the first sign off. I thought, yes, this is good. Life is short. It wasn't quilt faster because it's not really about speed. We're not about speed. Okay, I'm just finishing. I've got to go. I have Fitbit steps to get in and work to do and beds to make and a dog to walk and I have to do my afternoon chores. So I'm finishing. I hope you are well. I am well. My mom is well. Let's all quilt. Stay in touch. Write me a letter. Okay, that's it. Bye.